So if you could be here around 9, that would be great. Okay?
Well, listen here.
Hello, I'm Miss H.
And I'm obviously Mr. O.
So welcome to Love is Blind. We are in episode 4.
Mm-hmm.
So right now, everybody is in Mexico, Cancun, Mexico, enjoying their couples retreat.
Yep, at this resort, which is funny because I looked up the resort. I was like, oh, yeah. I wonder what this place is. And it, like, as soon as you go onto it, it's like, as featured on Love is Blind. It's a huge banner at the top.
Oh, it's a nice place, but I would say that it's standard. You know, like, they have that whole hotel zone, like, down in Cancun.
Uh-huh.
It's like the same as every other hotel down there. I mean, they're nice hotels, absolutely, but yeah. Okay, so I'll start off with Giannina and Damien. So Giannina and Damien wake up giggling and exhausted. Giannina says that she tore his clothes off and they made love. She says that she loves him and he fell in love with exactly who she was. He continuously tells her that she's beautiful, but then he calls the room beautiful too. Damien thinks everything is beautiful. Giannina says that she wants to get massages, which would be Damien's first time. But instead of getting a massage from a professional, they give each other's massages with a masseuse supervising. So that was pretty much their segment. I mean,
that was it?
Yeah. There's not a whole lot going on with them right now, which, you know, sometimes is a good thing. It means there's less drama involved.
Mm-hmm.
But there's one thing. It always seems like Damien is really uncomfortable anytime you kind of talk about the sex in the interview portion. We'll kind of get to what he says with everyone there later.
Uh-huh.
But do you even think that Damien wanted to have sex?
Yes. Just because I can't imagine him not wanting to have sex. But he's very demure about it. And he ends up saying, he ends up saying made love, which it just bugs me. I don't know why it bugs me, but when anybody says we made love instead of like... It
sounds weird.
Anything else, it just sounds weird to me.
It does sound weird to me too. It's funny because, you know, in older movies, like movies from like, you know, prior to, I would say, 1960, uh-huh. they always refer to making love. And I always thought that was like so scandalous, you know, uh-huh. like... And so I think my mom said, oh, well, that actually means like kissing. And I was just like, oh, that's... weird. All right. I don't know if my mom was just saying that, if it's like a legit thing or not. But the reason why I kind of feel like Damien, okay, I agree with you. I think he does want to have sex because physically he wants to have sex.
Mm-hmm.
But I think what his hesitation is, possibly, I mean, I'm obviously theorizing here, is that he knows that this is supposed to be someone who is, he's going to marry. And so this mm-hmm. needs to be like a significant relationship. And so maybe he's one of those guys that kind of recognizes that rushing into sex before you're kind of really emotionally there could potentially ruin things.
I don't know. I mean, I think sometimes too often, I think this might be the difference between the two of them actually, is some people can really take a relationship and separate the sex from the emotional connection, everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
And seems like Giannina was really into that. She was like, oh, yes, we'll develop and get to know each other better and get to married. But tonight I'm horny and
right.
you look nice and let's just do this. And I'm not worried about making it this big, you know, huge milestone in our relationship. It's just, you know, two people doing what they need to do because two hot people who are into each other. So yeah, let's do this. And it seems like he was a little more hesitant to do that than she was.
Yeah.
And he's kind of more like, no,
definitely.
It's a package deal.
He wasn't even in any kind of rush. He was like trying to finish off eating dessert from dinner.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, he uh-huh. was just like, oh, yeah, I'll meet you in there. Like, give me a minute.
I don't know about it, but yeah, I was a little suspicious of Giannina's massaging techniques because
right.
I don't think a usual massage involves sitting on top of the person.
I mean, yes. I feel like I've seen that, but not in like a professional sense,
yes.
you know? So I kind of feel like, okay, so Damien's never had a massage before and it's uh-huh. like, okay, that's fine, you know? But then this was just such a weird situation. It wasn't even like they were getting a professional massage. The masseuse was just simply there to kind of point some things out. It's like, this is a very odd massage.
It really
was. You could have just stayed in your own room and like figured it out yourself.
Yeah, because there's two different kinds of massages. There's the kind of mm-hmm. massage you get because you need a massage and your muscles hurt and your back hurts
yes.
and you need to stretch everything out. And there's a kind of massage that's foreplay. And
yeah.
like they went to a setting for the first kind of massage, but then they, right. then they started doing the second kind of massage.
Right. Definitely. Because I was going to say, like, I don't think she's doing it right. Like, if he has a knot in his back, like, she's not really needing that thing out.
No, yeah, she really needs to get it. You're not going to get, like, that angle as you're, like, straddling his ass. That's not going to get, right. you're really going to get the leverage yeah, you need to really dig in there.
Touching him a lot. Yes. That's, yeah, definitely what was going on.
All right. So let me go to Kenny and Kelly. So Kenny and Kelly are actually the first couple we see in this episode. And they seem like they're kind of used to set the template of what everybody else's opening scene is going to be. They're cuddling in the bed and gently talking to each other. Kelly tells Kenny that last night was fun, which in my opinion usually implies that you had sex last night, but turns out they just made out and snuggled. Kelly thinks they have an incredibly strong bond for just knowing each other 10 days, but doesn't want to rush into sex just yet. Later, we see them again setting the stage for the other couples, and they go to the beach to have some alone time. So they're very playful as they lotion each other up, go for a dip, and then hose each other off. But everything's still pretty chaste. In this scene, Kelly tells us that Kenny is one of the best kissers she's ever kissed and gives him a 15 out of 10. That's pretty much it for them.
Yeah.
So what I did want to mention is last week we were kind of wondering why are these people on the show? They are not dramatic.
Yeah.
They're not
they're
like
– super boring.
They're just kind of boring. So this is my theory. I want you to hear what one of it.
Sure.
This is the anchor. Like they put them mm-hmm. on first. So we kind of – this is the baseline expectation of what is supposed to look like. This is what we're supposed to expect. So because I know every single couple had a scene where they like woke up in bed together or – I should say, woke up in bed.
Yeah.
And everyone was compared to, okay, we saw them first. So everybody else was, ooh, are they together? Are they snuggling? Are they in the bed together? Or do they, how much clothes do they have on? So everyone was kind of mentally comparing to that first one I saw. So that's what they made. They're the anchors. They're supposed to be there to be show them first, set the expectation, and then we can kind of, you know, judge all the other couples based on that.
Mm-hmm. I feel like I could never date Kenny. I just and I know this is such like a weird little thing that I picked up on, but the way that he keeps on like caressing her arm the entire time that they're like talking in bed, like that would annoy the shit out of me. I would be like, quit moving, like quit rubbing me, like just be still.
Oh, that's a personal taste thing.
It causes me anxiety just watching him do that.
Right. Because because there's definitely women who will be like, if your hand is still, they'll be like.
Yeah. Get off my get
no,
off
no,
my shoulder.
They'll start to move their shoulder to be like, your hand's supposed to be moving. I don't understand why
oh,
you just
really?
Are sitting it there. Yeah. Like being like tickled and like scratched or whatever.
No.
Not like
tickled and scratched. No. It's just too much. It causes me anxiety. I don't like it. You know why? Is because I think like I am someone who. And I wouldn't even say it's anxiety, but I'm someone who, like, fidgets. I'm a very fidgety person. Mm-hmm. And so to have someone do that on me makes me feel like someone's fidgeting on me.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, I have my own fidgeting to deal with. Like, get off of me.
I'm just saying some people are into that. And if they found a match and that's what he wants to do and that's what it doesn't.
Yeah, so I'm just saying I could never date a Kenny.
I've definitely had places where I'd be like, do I have to keep moving my arm? It's tired.
I've actually had conversations with people I've dated. I'm like, okay, can you just not do that? It's like, you can hold me, but just like tight and just like grab on. Like, that is it. We're done. Okay, when they were in the water, and so they were, you know, like they started off on the beach. She's in her mm-hmm. bathing suit. What the hell was she wearing around her stomach? It looked like a fanny pack.
Okay.
But then, like, it kind of looked like a belly band.
So I saw that, too, and looked at yes. it very closely and tried to figure out. I think it was a mic pack. I think it was, like, a fanny pack for the mic battery or whatever. And then right. she had it clipped to her bikini top.
Talk about cheaping out on production.
Uh-huh.
Like, come on now. Like, everybody. I mean, you can watch any of these shows.
She did not have it on when they were showering each other down.
Yes, she didn't. But, like, she was still frolicking in the ocean, so it's not like it's waterproof anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Is it? Question
no,
mark?
I think it was a waterproof pack, but that just kept it where it needed to be and not, like, loose. Because the other option is to put it in her bikini, and I don't know if it fit or, you know, they had to do something. I think they were just, you know, kind of budging. I do think it was a waterproof like Mike, I do think that, but still needed to put the battery pack somewhere.
I mean, once again, how had they not figured this out? There are plenty of shows where people are frolicking on the beach, like mm-hmm. reality shows. Like,
sure.
I can think of Temptation Island. They're permanently in bikinis. X on the Beach, permanently in bikinis. And, you know, they somehow managed to have all the women with mic packs on those shows without some weird belly band situation.
Nobody else got in the water.
Oh, yeah, I guess that's true. Okay, that makes more sense. All right, you sold me. All right, so moving on. Let's talk Jessica and Mark. So Jessica wakes Mark up, and she seems to be in a good mood. But that's because Mark doesn't snore or sweat in his sleep, so that earns him a spot in the cuddle zone. Jessica is still trying to transition into a physical relationship. Mark asks if they should pretend they're still in the pods, and she thinks that's a great idea. Jessica is optimistic. She wouldn't change anything about Mark, and she sees them walking down the aisle soon. They head out to the beach for a meal, and Mark tells Jessica about how he overcame his fear of the ocean. Jessica admires how brave he is, and she goes on to say that she hasn't been in real relationships. She says that the relationships she has been in the past have been based on social status or where they are in life. Jessica brings up the fact that she's 10 years older, and she fears that Mark's parents, specifically his mom, won't accept her because of her age. Mark isn't worried about other people's opinion. All right, what do you think Jessica is bothered by the most? Mark's age, his height, or his status?
I think it's his height. Honestly, yeah. I think it's his height. I don't think she likes looking at him, and I don't think she likes... She keeps saying it in a way to try to sound diplomatic.
Mm-hmm.
But isn't. She's just like, I'm having trouble squaring, you know, the voice and meeting you in real life with the person I knew in the pods. And it just sounds like, you're uglier than I thought you were going to be.
Right. Yeah. So maybe not even specifically his height, but if I had thrown in like looks, kind of agree too. Like, I feel like if he was just this hunky guy, she would be trying to make it work.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, obviously they do have an emotional connection. So if there is a physical part in that, I feel like she would shut up about the age thing.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like she just keeps on trying to throw out these excuses of why it wouldn't work.
Uh-huh.
You know, like, we're at different places in our life. Like, you know, you're younger.
Right.
You know,
and like, it has to be something that isn't his looks, but also is nothing he can fix. He can do something about.
Yeah,
your absolutely. Mom wouldn't approve. So... You'll have to tell me this. Is night sweating a problem that you have to think about often?
Okay. So, yeah, kind of. I mean, you know how it is. Like, some people just sleep hot, you know? And so it's like a little furnace, like sleeping next to a little furnace. And so it's just like, you know, it can be a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
And some people are worse than others. But, yeah, I definitely think snoring and sweating for like a period of time in my life, like one of my deal breakers was snoring. I was like, I honestly cannot deal with snoring. I was getting a lot less sleep back then. It was mm-hmm. making me a cranky person. I was like, I cannot date a snorer.
I feel like if you're a night sweater,
mm-hmm.
then you at least know you're a night sweater because you wake up sweaty. you wake up like matted and stuff. I guess I'm not a night sweater, so I don't know. But mm-hmm. snoring is definitely one of those things where nobody believes they snore. Because you never hear yourself snore?
I don't know. I feel like...
People have been told that they snore.
Oh, sure.
But it has to be something you finally like come around to. You're like, no, I don't snore.
I had a friend record me snoring. Like, uh-huh. I had fallen asleep on the couch because I had been like day drinking with my friend and we were like watching TV and I like fell asleep. And he recorded me snoring. And he was like, when I woke up, he was like, you snored. See, I like recorded you. And I was like, I have never said that I don't snore. Let's be real here. But what I would say about the snoring thing is, actually, this is kind of funny. When we first started podcasting, the first podcast we ever did together,
mm-hmm.
I had just been recovering from having my tonsils removed.
Right.
Yes. And so one of the reasons behind me getting my tonsils taken out was to open up my airways better for like sleeping. And so I can say that I have I've been to a couple conventions where I've had roommates since then. And I keep on asking my roommates, I'm just like, tell me if I snore because I want to know if this thing worked.
Uh-huh.
They claim they have heard not a peep from me. So if you are a snorer, maybe that's something you should check out. I think it was absolutely free for me through my health insurance. I didn't even pay for a doctor's visit. So yeah, I recommend it to everyone. Right. I keep telling people, I'm like, you snore, get your tonsils taken out.
Yeah,
it was the best thing ever. But I feel like on paper, she really likes Mark, but you know, it just doesn't seem convincing in real life.
It doesn't. And the way she's like, I really didn't like how, yes, she's like, you don't snore and you don't sweat. But then she was like, I'm going to punch you a ticket to the cuddle zone. Like, you know,
right.
Like that means.
Yeah, like he has to earn his way.
Okay, so this is the other, this is another couple that obviously didn't have sex on their first night. But yeah. At least like Kenny and Kelly were both on the same page about what they wanted. They both weren't ready to have sex, but they really wanted to cuddle and make out. And so that was good. But like, I just feel really bad for Mark because he was really into getting lucky tonight. All right. Yep.
He's and getting all amped up.
And it wasn't even like, not even a cuddle, like really entertaining the idea of a pillow wall, right?
Yeah, poor Mark.
They wake up and they're just so far apart on the bed. Like she is on the edge of the bed, as far away from him as she can get, sitting up, like not even laying down.
So true.
All right. So Amber and Barnett. So during their waking up scene, Amber tells us in an interview that the bathtub in their room was nice, but she and Barnett spent more time in the shower than in the bathtub. The implication is supposed to be that they had a lot of sex, I guess, but I think the way she phrased it, it raises more questions than it has answers. She also wonders in this interview whether you can put sex every day into a prenup. They both go over most of the same platitudes that all the other couples do, like, oh my God, I was dating 2 weeks ago, and I can't believe I'll be a married man in 4 weeks. Then that scene kind of ends. The next we see them is having a picnic and some vino on the beach, where Barnett brags about his corkscrew skills, and they have a really dumb conversation about dietary choices. At one point, Barnett asks, when talking about vegans, what do you call the ones that don't eat plants either? So soon it starts to rain. It starts to rain on their parade, and idiot. Amber insists that they dance in the rain for good luck or something. I wasn't entirely clear of what they were doing there, but they do dance, and they're both really bad dancers. So based on this first real day together, which one of these two people is the bigger bro in this relationship?
Oh, God. Yeah, that's actually funny. I think Barnett really is, because I have theories about Amber.
I mean, Barnett's like, a bro. Like, that's what I'm saying. But is it? Yeah, so.
It really is Barnett. So my whole thing with Amber is that, and even kind of going back to this whole like, oh, can we have sex? Like, can we write it in the prenup? I want to guarantee that we have sex, like, get laid every day, you know, like even twice a day.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just, to me, this kind of goes back to when we kind of talked about this, like when we were first talking about Amber, is that she's like kind of trying to play up, I am the perfect girlfriend. Mm-hmm. I am the perfect girl. Like, I am going to be the one who hangs out with the guys. I'm going to be the one who watches football with you. I'm going to be the one that wants to have crazy sex probably more than you do. Mm-hmm. You know? So I feel like it's just all kind of playing into this image she's trying to portray of herself as being the ideal woman for everyone. So...
okay,
I don't know, but I think it's an act.
I'm on board with you, because I thought that as soon as she implied and bragged about the shower sex, because in my experience, shower sex sucks. Everybody knows that shower sex sucks. And so the only people who brag about the amount of shower sex they have are people who want to performatively brag about how much sex they have and really aren't as into doing it as they say they are.
Yeah.
And so that just jibes exactly with what you were saying about Amber.
Right.
So it's like,
the next thing you're going to know is she is going to be like, oh, yeah, I would be totally down to have a threesome.
Yes.
Uh-huh. You know, that's like going in line with her. Like, I'm going to be the perfect girl. So you know, all dudes want to date me. Oh, my goodness. I thought it was interesting that she says that she has never left the country. Wasn't she in the army?
No, she wasn't. I listened to that. She was in the National Guard.
Oh, what's the difference?
The National Guard is, you know, they are citizen soldiers, but they're the ones who are stationed in the country for the defense of, you know, different things. The National Guard branches are by the states. Now, they're usually associated with a branch of the military. It's usually the Army National Guard or the Air National Guard. And they could potentially be called up into of a standing army, but most of the time they're the ones who are there for like Homeland Security, like the defense part of defense.
And okay. So like that makes more
the
sense.
National Guard gets called out when there's like hurricanes and things like that.
Okay. Yeah, because I thought it was really odd that she had never left the country ever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, I looked back and she all the army bragging she was doing was Georgia Guard, and not to diminish the people in the National Guard. Like it is,
right.
You know, it's not like lesser than.
But
the
it's
army.
Also a misrepresentation.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
If she's not actually in the army, to say she's in the army,
right?
Yeah. So yeah, Barnett's comment about who doesn't eat plants is like. Dumb.
At least she figured it out. I was like, wait, she didn't get it. She didn't hear it. And then eventually she's like, wait, what would you eat then?
Like solely meat. That would be so ridiculous. You would die. There's no way someone could just eat meat.
No, it sounded like, because they were talking about vegans. And she was like, well, he's like, it's a vegan sandwich. And she was like, no, it's not. It's got cheese on it. And he goes, oh, so you don't eat anything animals. All right. Well, what about the people who also don't eat plants then? And I was like,
oh, I guess like meat, cheese, eggs.
Yeah, or I guess he was going for if he was trying to
products.
He was going to get for like pescatarians or ovo vegetarians or something like that. But he went the other way instead of being like, oh, the people who you know eat plants but also eat animal products. But I don't know. He went the other way and said, what about the people who don't eat meat or plants? It's like they're dead. Like that's all I got.
Dumb. So dumb.
I don't know. He also hit me on a pet peeve is I really hate it when people call wine vino. Like stop. Oh. I don't know why that bothers me so much. It's such a bro-y thing to do. It's like, that says vino. Like you're not French. I don't understand what you're doing. It's wine.
Oh my goodness. Ugh. So are you surprised at all that marriage scares Barnett?
You think?
It's like surprise. Geez.
Wow. Like the biggest bro on the biggest dude.
Yeah. Douche.
Yeah, dude, right. Douche is like, is scared of commitment. Are you kidding? What a surprise.
What?
I'm shocked. The one who had three different women on the line in the pods.
Yeah,
really? He's afraid of commitment and marriage? I wouldn't have imagined.
I know. So it was kind of funny when he was talking about getting married and he was talking about 50 years. You could tell that he had like anxiety just saying that.
Mm-hmm.
You're just like, oh my gosh.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, usually they play it a little longer, but I could also see him as just being a person who's like, oh no, 50 years. I'm not going to be able to get young women again in 50 years. That's not going to work.
Oh goodness. Oh, Barnett. All right. We'll move on. So Lauren and Cameron, Lauren goes to bed with a bonnet on to keep her hair nice. Cameron doesn't seem to mind. Cameron is trying to be a gentleman, so he refuses to say what went on during their first night together. Cameron later says in an interview that he is looking for a partner that will show respect and care about you, implying that he's had past relationships that didn't make him feel that way. He feels comfortable with her, and Lauren says they will take over the world, Bonnie and Clyde style, minus the shooting. They are lounging around and talking about meeting Lauren's dad. She says that she has never introduced either of her two boyfriends to her dad, and she's nervous how her dad will react, specifically to the fact that Cameron is white. They are then talking about having kids, and Lauren feels that it is fast, but it also feels natural. All right, so we kind of opened up with Lauren and her sexy bonnet, mm-hmm. which Cameron says is like a beret. But what are some other nighttime rituals that are not especially sexy?
Oh, geez, good question. I mean, a lot of them revolve around hair and teeth. Hair and teeth.
I was going to say, I wear a night guard. I'm sure that's not sexy.
Probably not. Probably. No. I don't know. I'm sexy as hell when I go to bed. So I don't know what you're talking about. Oh,
you like wear headgear.
Yeah.
That would definitely be a mood killer. Uh-huh.
What you wear as pajamas, right, are usually another thing that is not, but you people tend to wear what's comfortable and not like what's sexy. So like
T-shirts.
Yeah. I've been wearing like socks. Right. So.
Oh, weird.
It's cold here. Okay.
Is it? It's April.
It was 41 today.
What the heck?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, gosh.
It snowed in Chicago.
Ugh.
Yeah.
I feel bad for y'all.
So in the wintertime, at least I wear socks. So that's not, you know. That's not a good look, but it's usually people's nighttime skincare routines, you know, what you do with your mouth. Those are things. Brushing your teeth in general is pretty unsexy.
Well, I'd who's say. Watching each other brush their teeth?
That's true.
Yeah.
The bonnet is honestly.
I didn't think it was bad looking.
It was fine. It's not how you would present yourself. It looks better than not that many people do this at nowadays anyway, but like curlers.
Right. I think the only thing would be like if you were trying to like run your hands through their hair, then the bonnet would be restrictive. But other than that, I don't see how it would make a difference.
If you're going to get busy, you can take the bonnet off. It's not a big deal.
Yeah. I actually didn't think it was weird that they were talking about kids. And it did seem really natural to me, too.
If you're legitimately considering seriously getting married, which mm-hmm. on paper, all of these couples do, then kids has to be a conversation you have. It has to be, whether you do or don't want them. Like, even, I don't want kids. Neither do I. Great conversation done.
Great.
Like, but it has to come up. Yeah. It has to come
up. Why do you think she's never introduced a boyfriend to her dad before? I thought that was really weird.
Right. So how long does it usually take? True. Because she didn't seem like – she's like, I had
31?
I thought she was younger than that, actually.
I'm pretty sure she's 30.
But she also didn't seem like – she was like – when she said how many boyfriends have you had, she was like, two? And so I doubt that she's dated anybody for a year, the way she kind of said it. She was like, I guess two would count. And so I don't know. It depends on how close you are to your parents. It depends on how close you live to home based on how long you would – be dating somebody before you met them. I would imagine, you know, a couple months in would be a reasonable time to introduce your parents.
Gosh, I'm like, engagement, that's when they get to meet my parents. Okay, and it's not because of anything, like I'm not trying to hide anyone or anything, mm-hmm. but my mom specifically is incredibly judgy.
Okay.
So it's just best that she not be involved.
Yeah. Well, I mean, even a time frame, it depends on how serious you are. Like,
right.
I can see that.
Yeah. But maybe that's what her thing is maybe she's just like, dad is really super judgy.
Mm-hmm. Maybe. I mean, she seems to be worried about him being judgy about Cameron's race. But
yeah.
And I get what that is. It's not like, how dare you date a white person? It's like his concern is like, well, is he going to understand all the problems and all the issues they're going to have, especially when he talks about it with having black children? Is he going to get it? Is he going to be able to navigate these waters as a concern? But I don't get everybody's obsession with Bonnie and Clyde. And at least she mentions that they were died in a horrible firestorm of bullets.
At least she remembers that part of the story, because a lot of the times I feel like the couples are just like, oh yeah, Bonnie and Clyde. And it's like, kind of like Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah.
Does not end well for anyone.
Like, we're going to take over the world like Bonnie and Clyde. It was like, A, yes, the shootout. But B, they didn't come close to taking over the world. They robbed like four banks. And that was like...
Right. They weren't super successful. Look at how it ended.
Right. I want to take over the world like two bank thieves that I've ever heard of because they got away and we don't know who they were. That's who I want to be.
Right. I feel like the Obamas would have been a better analogy.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what people have about like, we'll be with each other till the bloody end. And it's like, what?
No, let's avoid the bloody part of the end.
I don't know. Yeah. Let's just avoid that part. How about the part where we die peacefully in our sleep when we're really old? I like that part. Yeah. Who did that?
Notebook style.
Yes.
Definitely. All right.
All right. So,
you got an explosive one.
The explosive one. Carlton and Diamond. After Carlton's poolside coming out, they wake up in separate rooms. Diamond still feels like she has made a deep connection to Carlton in the pods, but she wonders how genuine that connection can be and how genuine Carlton was being in the pods. Carlton seems to understand that it's a lot to take in, but all he can do is go on living his truth. So they go back to the poolside, or another poolside, I don't know if it's the same pool or a different pool, to talk about it, because Diamond has some things she needs to get off her chest. Before the conversation starts, Carlton starts off pretty cool, or at least much cooler than he was the night before. But this turns out to not be the conversation that he wants to have. Diamond tells him that she feels he was being dishonest in the pods by waiting until after they were engaged and together before letting him know about his past. Carlton has trouble keeping his story straight. He tells her that his sexuality has never bothered any girls before, but also tells her that he didn't tell her right away because she would prejudge him, which doesn't seem to match up. In an interview, he's confused as to why Diamond was comforting him last night, but today seems more confrontational. They are very clearly talking past each other, And as you can tell by both of their speech patterns at this point, they're both getting very defensive and getting ready for a fight, which eventually comes. They talk about disrespect, about how Diamond is on some other shit, but Diamond insists she's talking real talk. Honestly, none of them is making very much sense because they just start yelling, and they were really just talking over each other a lot. But Diamond eventually tells him directly that he is having a bad attitude, and Carlton just insists he's being honest. Diamond gives him back his wedding ring, and it only stays in the pool deck for just a few minutes before Carlton chucks it away in anger and says, "This is why I don't fuck with bitches like you," which he quickly tries to modify to "women like you," but at that point, Diamond is already up and walking away. As she walks away, Diamond decides to give up any moral high ground she has by taking a homophobic jab at Carlton, who then insults her wig. After she leaves, Carlton says he doesn't give a fuck about her anymore because she is ignorant and stereotypical. But his stress swimming and champagne chugging tell a different story. Diamond says that she misjudged Carlton, but she's going to make it through. They both leave the resort alone and are never to be seen from again, at least in this episode. So that was a really dramatic fight.
Yes.
So are you Team Diamond, Team Carlton, please. or Team Everybody Sucks Here?
No, I am 100% Team Diamond. yes, I mean, you can only have so much patience for this situation. Because like you even said, Carlton was very clearly lying about, it's you. The problem in this situation is you. Mm-hmm. I've never had anyone react badly to this kind of news. Like, never. You are the only one. It's like, no, you have been telling, you even said to her before you even said this that, oh, well, I'm afraid that all women are going to leave me once they hear what I have to say. It's like, you just said that to her.
Right.
And now you're going to retract it like she's the one who's wrong here.
And he's been telling us from the beginning, yeah. Oh no, I've had problems with this in the past. People judge me when I tell them, and they never treat me the same. And this is why I kept it a secret. Like, he's been saying that nonstop.
Right. Because then if she was the only one to react this way and it was like so out of character, why didn't you tell her from day one? Mm-hmm. Why didn't you tell everyone from day one? If, you know, like they truly would take it better.
Right.
Like, it makes no sense. Like, you chose to, like, not even lie, but to keep it from her this entire time because you thought it was going to go this way. Mm-hmm. So it went this way, and now you're saying, no, you're wrong.
It's, I don't know. I feel like it is one of those kind of aspects where it would be weird if, like, the first day in the pod, it was like, hi, how you doing? I'm Carlton. Oh, hi, I'm Diamond. By the way, I'm bisexual. That would be weird.
Right.
Like, and that's not what he's going for. And that's not what, you know, from day one is what they mean. Yeah. But I definitely feel like it's something, and I get this, I feel this from, because I have kids, it's something that you kind of want to work into a conversation somewhat early and not like make a big deal out of it. Like, listen, I have something I need to tell you, but just mention like, oh yeah, my kids do that. My kids like that game. And you're like, oh, okay. Well, I threw that out there, you know, to be like, it wouldn't have been weird for him to at some point. Oh yeah. The guy I used to date. Blah, 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 when they're getting to know each other. Because he clearly wasn't. He was clearly hiding it because he was afraid of this.
Right. And then I also was very upset with how he was trying to make it out to be that, you know, he's been honest with her this entire time. And, you know, he's trying to make it to be like she's reacting over his news. Whereas she kept on saying, like, no, I'm not reacting over the news. Yes, it is a shock. Mm-hmm. Yes, you had to give me a moment to process it. But I'm really upset with the honesty piece. And he keeps on saying, well, but I've been being honest.
I am honest. I told you everything. You know everything now.
I'm an honest person.
Right.
Sorry, I'm telling you my truth. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, no, not really. You're doing it now.
Right.
But it's not the same.
Right. He definitely wants to have it both ways. He wants to get all the benefits from hiding it from somebody, right? Not being judged the whole time. And then when he does give it out, wants credit for being honest. He's like, I told you everything. You know everything now. And she's like, but I'm not talking about now. I'm talking about before. And he was like, forget before. What about now? And she's like, you can't just forget before. Our entire relationship was built on before.
Yeah. So you notice he threw the ring and it was just kind of funny because it's like, yeah, you didn't pay for that ring.
No, he did not pay for that ring. You did not fling that ring away like that. If you, we talked about the production value of that this show. Those rings are not real.
Oh, you don't think so?
I don't think they're real. No.
Ah, okay. Yeah, it makes sense. It holds. What about his gargling with the champagne? Did you notice that?
Yeah. What the hell was that? Where he was trying to be like, no, I'm fine. I'm fine. Everything's great. I'm doing great. Pop a cork of champagne and...
Chugs it, rinses his mouth, and literally spits it back out.
So, no. The problem is you think it looks badass to chug things from a bottle.
Yeah.
Champagne is the exception because you cannot chug champagne.
Right. It's too fizzy.
So... it's not like he rinsed his mouth out. He knocked the champagne back. It filled up his mouth. He tried to hold it in his mouth and couldn't and had to spit it back out.
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah, because it definitely looked like he was like taking a little rinse with the champagne. Yeah. And I was like, what's wrong with this guy?
Like he's doing it like it was like a whiskey bottle or something. It's like, it's just champagne, man. You can't do that. I've seen many a person try when they're drunk at a party and be like, ah, and you spit all the champagne back out.
Yeah, to be honest, I didn't even catch that Diamond said anything derogatory to Carlton.
Yes, so she did. I don't know if you went back and looked at it. He was leaving, and she's like, watch my ass on the way out until that next dick comes along.
Okay, so yes, I think I read that in the because I always watch everything with subtitles, but I just think I didn't understand what she was trying to say.
Whatever. What she was, I mean, I don't know exactly what the thing was, but the implication was, you like dick. And it was like, that's...
I mean, but then once again, like, I don't know. I don't take it as super derogatory. It's just like, you know, it's just saying a bunch of things. You know how people are. They, like, just say a bunch of things to try to be hurtful. But I don't know. I don't know if I really took it as badly as maybe it should
have. Yeah, I was just like, it was something she should have stayed away from at all because yes, it wasn't the point. Yeah. That wasn't the point of the fight. And it kind of like gave him fuel because if I'll tell you what, the only words he's going to remember from that fight are those ones.
Yeah, that's true.
And that's what she was about the whole time. That's what she cared about.
Yeah. Yeah, that is true. But I I could not stand him in this. And their whole talking over each other too. Mm-hmm. I feel like she made some attempt to try hear him out. But he did not give her the same courtesy. And then because it was going that way, that's when it really escalated and they were just talking over each other.
Right.
Yeah.
And you just noticed as soon as he said bitches, it was like,
oh, yeah. Done. Oh, believe. If that were me too, it would absolutely be done. You cannot call someone that.
Uh-huh.
You know? It is not okay. Especially like, okay, it's not even someone. This is someone you're supposed to claim to have loved like literally a day ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And the way that she was kind of talking about it, it sounded like she was open to going forward,
mm-hmm.
you know, before this conversation.
Right.
And so it's just like, you really ruined it, Carlton, because, you know, she was fine with it. She just wanted to like kind of hash out like, the circumstances behind everything.
The thing is they both went into that conversation. They both went into that discussion looking for an apology. And neither of them got it from the other person, right?
That's true.
She came in expecting him to be like, yeah, I'm really sorry I kept this from you. I was really insecure about it. I'm really nervous about it. And it just eats at me. And, you know, I'll try to do better. And that's what she was looking for, right?
Yeah.
He was looking for her being like, oh, I'm sorry, baby. It's not a thing. We don't have to worry about it ever again.
Right.
You are you. I love you. The end. Like, so they both kind of came thinking the other person was going to apologize and instead just dug in their heels.
Yeah, very true. So, yeah, that was definitely most of the drama from this episode. But we get a little bit more drama at the end because all the couples are invited to a cocktail party by the beach. And as each couple arrives, they are surprised to recognize some of the other partygoers. When Vanessa Lachey tells them all what's up, everybody is interested in checking out the people they had been talking to in the pods. So here were some of their impressions. Jessica thinks Barnett looks exactly how she pictured. Amber says that even though all the other guys are very attractive, she feels like she got the best one. Kenny thinks that Giannina is gorgeous. Lauren thinks Mark is tiny, and she thought Barnett would be like a frat bro, and that's exactly how he is. Kelly says Cameron's pretty hot, which was surprising given his very calming personality. Damien says that Amber is good-looking, but is a lot. Then the group takes tequila shots, and they loosen up to talk about their first night with their partners. So with the guys, Damien is the first to ask about the sex, but then he also wants to answer first. So it came off as a brag. The guys are all broing out, and Kenny, not wanting to feel left out, heavily implies that he and Kelly had sex, even though they hadn't. Hearing everyone getting some on the first night makes Mark feel like something is wrong. Over on the girls' side, Giannina talks about how it's been a long time, and Jessica screams in her ear as Giannina says that they did it. Amber can't stop talking about all the sex they're having. Jessica is now having doubts that everyone else seems so excited about their men, and her feelings pale in comparison. They finally get to asking her about the poom poom, and Jessica feigns ignorance, and Lauren points out that she's the oldest one there, and she obviously can figure out what it is that they're talking about. Jessica defends their lack of intimacy by saying that she's having a hard time connecting the emotional and the physical. Kelly is supportive of that, as she is also taking it slow with Kenny. In an interview, Jessica is now saying that she had such strong feelings for Barnett and that the bond couldn't be replicated again with anyone else. She's trying to keep her composure with Barnett and goes over and talks to him one-on-one and gives him a hug. She acts like everything is fine, even though how they left things wasn't good. They are flirting and laughing, and Mark gets jealous and walks over and kisses her. Amber, in an interview, says the idea of Jessica moving in on her man is laughable. So, my question for you is, why do you think that Jessica had such strong feelings for Barnett that she claims she'll never feel that with anyone else after really only 3 days in the pod?
I don't know. I thought it was funny because I loved the other women who aren't in this weird love triangle's reaction to Barnett, because they were like, yep. That's what I thought.
He's a bro.
That's exactly a douchey what I bro. Thought he would be like. So I remember even Lauren specifically was like, when we were in our little green room, I could not figure out why all these women were falling over this dude.
And yeah, right.
He is exactly what I thought he was. So
yeah, I don't know. That's a type, sure.
Yeah, because I can't figure it out. I don't know what it was. Like she feels like they had this big, deep connection. And I mean, I think when she told us that in the interview. What was that? Okay, was that a real interview or was that like a later interview?
It was a later interview.
Okay, because
you could tell because of how she was dressed. And
right,
she seemed
because
to be
she
like
was pretty sauced at the party.
Definitely. Right.
And so that might have had something to do with it. I don't know. I don't know, but
it is really interesting because on Barnett's side, and he said this, he said that his conversations with Jessica have been very superficial, and so he doesn't feel that kind of deep connection that Jessica keeps on claiming, you know, is like, she couldn't possibly feel this with anyone else. So it's like, I don't understand like what relationship Jessica is in
imagining
right now.
Yeah, where she's
imagining
at.
Exactly.
Right, because it seems to me like her conversations with Mark were much more, were much deeper.
Yes, deep. They were talking about children. They were talking about like family. It's like she had none of those conversations with Barnett.
No,
you're talking about sex positions and sports. Like he is right. Mm-hmm. They had like pretty superficial conversations.
Yeah. I mean, to the point where like she even uses the phrase, I saw my life flash before my eyes. Like when Barnett told her the thing, I was like, really? Like that's
3 days with a bro. Like, come on.
I know.
Makes no sense.
Okay.
To
me. So I'm going
to
go my favorite part of this whole segment, which I giggled about and paused and had to watch again, was was when Lauren had to explain what poom poom meant. She was like,
she's like, don't be dumb.
But she said that. She actually
she's
said
like,
it.
You know.
And then she had to say it. She was like, she had to say, it means pussy. You know that.
So what I kind of find funny about that is I had no idea what it was either, but context.
Yes.
Right? Like, pretty much based on context, I figured out what it was. So for Jessica to like feign ignorance, it was just like, yeah, right. Like, right. Okay, I get it. Maybe you've never heard it said that way before, but you could have got what it was just based on how they asked it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. So when Mark is acting all jealous and he walks over, but then Amber's like, whatever, my man can talk to him. I don't care. Mm-hmm. I don't know. What would you have done in that situation if you were Mark?
I mean, it's hard to say because if I was Mark, I wouldn't have proposed to Jessica. But
yes, you've been like, okay, clearly this person clearly isn't all fully in.
Exactly. So it's hard to imagine. So if you're Mark, you can't trust her. And we've talked about many, many times how you can possibly have an effective relationship with somebody you can't trust. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, if it was her, you'd have to come and like chaperone her, basically, like while she's over there flirting. Like there's, I don't know what else you could do. I think Amber is protesting too much, by the way. I think her interview where she's like, oh, the odds of her doing it is so low that it's sad. And it's so, yeah. It's laughable. I think it's her trying to speak that into truth.
Right. A reality. Sure. Yeah. I mean, especially if I were Amber in that situation, mm-hmm. it would be like, if you had 100% trust in your man, then sure. Like, I would have the stance that Amber has. Like, maybe she's just delusionally trustful, uh-huh. but it's like, what on earth has Barnett ever done to, like, make you trust him?
See, no, because here's the issue. Her trust was not, and that whole statement was not directed at Barnett. It wasn't, oh, mm-hmm. no, I trust Barnett. He's not going to do anything. It was, I know that Jessica's scared of me, and she's not going to do anything.
Oh, interesting.
Like, yeah. She is such a wuss that she'll never stand up for this. She won't put up a fight. It wasn't that if she did put up a fight, Barnett wouldn't go to her. It was it was something else.
Yeah, because I can definitely see that Jessica even had said that, you know, she was scared of the army chick.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she said that in one of the pod dates.
Yes.
So, I mean, I definitely feel like you're right in that Jessica is scared of Amber.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and definitely Amber seems like one of those people that really could go crazy.
Sure. Sure. Okay, so my question was about that, because I guess I felt worse for Kenny, right?
Okay.
Because he had to make up that story where he implied they had sex, but then didn't have sex. We know they didn't have sex. Oh, that's the way guy conversations go. Like, that felt very familiar to me in that. And everybody knew. Like, all those guys have been through enough of those conversations that they're like, yeah, they play along and be like, that's my boy, yeah. But they know, like, yeah, you didn't have sex. So, like, I kind of wonder is he going to, like, push for it more now? Like, is he going to be like, maybe you already have sex, knowing that or mm-hmm. Kelly too.
I definitely feel like Mark felt that way. So I feel like Mark is definitely going to put the pressure on. But, yeah, maybe Kelly and Kenny might feel that way too. I mean, the girls were much more supportive of Kelly.
Yes.
And so that's great that Kenny decides, okay, we should have sex now. But if Kelly's not on board, you know, there's only so much he can do about that.
Right. And that to me is that's a big difference between the way guys and girls communicate to each other is Kelly was okay just saying like, oh, we weren't ready to have sex. We didn't have sex yet. And Kenny had to be like, well, I don't kiss and tell.
But let me just say, I was really sore this morning. Like, I couldn't go for my run. It's like, okay, I don't know what you're trying to say there.
I'm sure it was like he found a way to be a truth. I mean, we stayed up all night talking, so I was too tired to run. Is definitely a way to put it. Is we were up all night. Like, okay, technically true.
Yeah. Ugh. I just got like a flashback of the last race I ran. There was this guy that after the race, he was so chafed, like in his like groin, inner thigh area, that it was literally bloody. Ooh. Like when I first saw it, it looked like he had like a period explosion. I was just like, what am I looking at? Wah! And he was just chafed so badly.
Wow.
So that's what kind of reminded me of like Kenny saying he was too sore to run. I'm just like, oh, gross.
Oh, God, isn't everybody supposed to have Body Glide like on you all the time?
Yes. Oh, it was a bloody mess. I was like, how do you even get that bad?
Yeah. That's tough.
That's really, really bad. Okay. On that note, student of the week.
My student of the week was Damien, I guess. I feel like we give it to Lauren and Cameron all the time, so I didn't want to do that again.
Oh, yeah.
So two things that Damien kind of won me over. One is they popped a champagne cork at the little cocktail party, and he caught the cork. He didn't let it fly away. He had it in his hand.
Well, good for you, Damien. Yeah.
And two, He called Amber extra.
Yes, so true. Well, I mean, yeah.
She is obviously extra. And so like somebody was kind of like, yeah, she's a lot.
Yep, definitely a lot. Okay, so I know you said about us having student of the weeks be Lauren and Cameron all the time, but let's be real here. We've already said this several times that these are garbage people. Yeah. So I'm going to pick Lauren again, but it's because she's keeping it real about the bonnet, which I appreciate that. You know, like she's going to do her. Yep.
And she's not going to be able to get her hair fixed, so she goes back. So she can't mess it up in the first day in Mexico.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, like not trying to front and be someone who she's not, mm-hmm. you know? Like I appreciate, like, this is how I am, like, take it or leave it kind of situation. And then also she had some really funny opinions about the guys.
She did.
Yeah.
I mean, I do like, oh, I really like that. That's one of my favorite parts of a yeah. show is watching, you know, even guys that match up. So you don't feel bad about them. You don't feel bad that they have nobody, right? Because they do have somebody. But just to hear, like, it's not all fawning. Some of the guys are just like, yeah, I didn't like that guy at all. He's kind of a loser.
Yeah.
to hear that right. from people and not just be like, oh, everybody wanted this guy. So I like it.
Yeah. What about your dunce?
Oh, Carlton. Like, Carlton.
Okay. Okay.
That, we've yeah, been over it. Just is. Yours?
Right. So for the sake of not doubling up, although Carlton by far deserves it, I'll give it to Kenny for playing into that whole locker room talk and basically lying mm-hmm. about having sex. And I mean, like, it doesn't make so much of a deal to us now, and I say us, but like adults.
Uh-huh.
But like something like that is really hurtful. Like if you think about if you're young.
Oh, sure.
Like, you know, and you're like maybe even in high school,
mm-hmm.
like someone getting the wrong idea, someone having like a reputation, you know. So it's just like, it's just gross. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah. All right. So what about your life lesson?
All right. So life, it's kind of a multi-tiered one. So one, you shouldn't get engaged to somebody when you're clearly hung up on somebody else, Jessica. Gosh,
right. Yeah.
But if you do, and you're stuck in a situation where they're both there, for the love of God, stay sober.
Don't you get it? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Very true. Yeah. Because you don't want bad things to happen, especially if bad things happen when you've been drinking.
Exactly.
Very, very true. All right, so mine was actually kind of based on them too. So I said, when it's done, it's done. So referring to Jessica and Barnett, mm-hmm. don't look back, don't have regrets. And for the love of God, don't compare what you have with what you lost.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I do feel like she is comparing Mark with Barnett. And that is especially why she's disappointed that she ends up with Mark. Because there were definitely moments in this episode where it seemed like Jessica genuinely was excited for Mark. And then almost as soon as they all kind of got together, it seemed like there was a shift.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, she's not happy with what she has.
Right. Yeah. As soon as she saw him, because that was the biggest right. drawback for Mark was his looks.
Right.
And then she clearly is way more attracted to Barnett.
Yeah. Yeah. And so it's like if you keep on comparing mm-hmm. what you had with what you lost, you're guaranteed to be unhappy.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. So that covers that episode. I think the right. next episode, they leave the island. They leave the island. They leave Mexico.
Yes. Kind of seems like an island, like Temptation Island. Well, no,
I keep thinking
right?
it's with like, well, especially because we lost two people today. So I figure I'll hit Survivor. Yeah. Like, oh, they're off the island.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Yes. So next episode, I think they start moving into their apartments.
All right. That'll be something.
Yeah. So production gets them all apartments that they temporarily live in until their wedding.
Okay. For the 3 weeks or whatever. Interesting. Okay. So we'll see how that goes.
All right.
And yeah, we'll be back with episode 5 next week.
Yep. Sounds good. And then if you watch 90 Day Fiancé, be sure to check out our other podcast feed.
Yes, please do. All right.
See ya.
Okay. Bye.